I got a very interesting program for you. Oh my God. You're going to love this show. There's a guy that's authored a book. This isn't funny, really. He's got a condition. How can I put this tastefully? Kids, leave the room for a second. Get the kids out of the room for a second, please. Well, for half an hour at least. He's got a condition. His penis is bent. It's got a little curve to it, and it's very painful for him in utilizing it. It's not funny. He's written a book that tries to approach it with a light amount of humor, but that's the condition that he physically has. So we're going to talk to that author about this bent penis syndrome. I believe there's a physical medical name for this, and what you do about it, and how many American men actually have this bent penis situation. How many women? Okay. So that's on tap for today's show. Also, Donald Trump, the so-called president of the United States, is starting to unravel again. Starting to unravel? Continuing to unravel. We have a very interesting dialogue between Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, and the so-called president of the United States, Donald Trump. You tell me who's lost it completely and how scary that actually is. So welcome to the program.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Yes, it is.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. I can prove it. Here's my identification, my papers, and my passport. Okay? Happy now? I tried to pay a bill online yesterday, which I never do because I don't trust anything online at all, including myself. So I go to pay an invoice through Quicken or something like that. That was the platform that was being used to pay off this bill. And I pay it off. I give my credit card number, the expiration date, the little three-number thing, name, address, you name it. I give it to them. And then I hit the little bar that says process payment. And this big red box comes on the screen and says, unable to process your payment. So I called my credit card company and said, what's up? What's up? What's up with this? They said, yes, we do see that the transaction was attempted to be made through this particular website. You were attempting to pay a bill, but it was rejected. I said, why? My credit card's fine. I said, no, it's not that. It's that the platform that you were using wasn't able to process the request. The payment was fine, but they weren't able to process it. I said, what the f-? So I called up this company to which I owed this money, and I said, I'm trying to pay you online, but I can't do it. And they said to me, well, you're using a VPN. I said, what? Said, yeah, you're using a VPN, and it probably won't process because you're using a VPN. I said, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I don't know what a VPN is, and if I did, why wouldn't I use it? I've paid things online before. It's the first time someone's told me I've got to have a VPN. Where do I get a VPN? Is that this like CBD oil? What is? Oh. I'm frustrated. I'm trying to pay money to somebody, and they won't let me do it. And he says, no, you can't use a private network. I said, what do you want me to do? Do it on, like public Wi-Fi? What are you talking about? so frustrated. I'm trying to pay somebody a large amount of money and it won't take it. And now there's something wrong with me? Well, you're using a VPN.
What are you talking about? Stop giving me initials. Tell me what it is.
Oh, it's a VPN.
Shut up
with your VPNs. You use a VPN. Leave me alone. Your VPNs. You and your VPNs. Anyway, Donald Trump had a hissy fit a couple of days ago. There was a meeting between himself and others in Congress, and Donald Trump walked in because there's been talk about possibly doing an impeachment on Trump, and Trump gets very insulted by I don't know. That's like calling him a VPN. So he went into the meeting and he had a hissy fit. He actually slammed his hands down and he says, "I'm not talking to anybody until you stop investigating me." What? I'm not going to be president until you stop investigating me. Because I don't like it. And he stormed out of the room. So Nancy Pelosi publicly said this is what happened. And Donald did not like that he was being criticized. Don doesn't like to be criticized, yet he loves to criticize other people, as we all know. Here's the exchange. This is from NBC. Here's an exchange between Nancy Pelosi explaining what happened during Donald Trump's hissy fit, and then Donald Trump responding to that with a response that made my mouth fall open in disgust as drool came out because I couldn't contain myself. This is phenomenal.
Sometimes when we're talking to him, he agrees. And then I said one time, who's in charge here? Because you agree and then all of a sudden something changes. What goes on there? Who's in charge? And he says he's in charge, and I suspect that he may be. And I suspect he may be even more since yesterday, because I don't think that any responsible assistant to the President of the United States would have advised him to do what he did yesterday. The president again stormed out. I think, what? First, pound the table, walk out the door. What? Next time, have the TV cameras in there while I have my say. That didn't work for him either. And now this time, another temper tantrum. Again, I pray for the President of the United States. I wish that his family or his administration or his staff would have an intervention for the good of the country.
Your prayer comments almost suggest you're concerned about his well-being.
I am. And the well-being of the United States of America.
It was sad when I watched Nancy all moving, the movement and the hands and the craziness. And I watch her. That's, by the way, a person that's got some problems. Crazy Nancy. I tell you what, I've been watching her, and I have been watching her for a long period of time. She's not the same person. She's lost it.
If they're still investigating, will you raise the debt limit? Will you sign a budget?
We'll see what happens. I'm a very capable person. We're going to see what happens. I can tell you this. Let them get this angst out of their belt. And when it is, we can do things so quick, your head will spin. So I haven't changed very much. Been very consistent. I'm an extremely stable genius. Okay.
Wow. Wow. Who's the extremely stable genius? I don't think it's him. And any time, and this isn't the first time he said it, by the way. That wasn't a repeat of something that he said 6 months ago. He just said that yesterday. Again, anybody who stands in front of you and says, "I'm an extremely stable genius," is an extremely messed up person. That's just weird. And yet he sits in that Oval Office, man. Look what you did. Look what you, come here. Come here. Give me, I'm going to slap your hand. Look what you did. Look what you did. Bad boy. It's like scolding a dog who just did a turd in the middle of your living room. Look what you did. Look what you did. It's going to take me a long time to get the stink out of here.
Yeah, I know. A very long time.
I do believe Donald Trump is mentally incapable. Something's wrong with him. And I can't tell you the number of movies that I've seen about mental institutions where the mental patient yells down the hallways, I'm stable. I'm a genius. I'm a genius. Yeah, this reminds me of that.
Yes, of course you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Donald Trump and his Attorney General, William Barr, remind me of Batman and Robin. Trump would be Batman, And William Barr, even though he couldn't fit in a costume, would be Robin. And together they fight sanity with their insane ideas. It's not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Anyway, happy Memorial Day to you. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's Memorial Day already. And of course, we remember those that preserve our democracy and our freedom. We remember them. I also remember Trump, who tries to destroy our democracy and freedom. I remember him in a very different way. And of course, Trump never fought for our country. Only thing he ever fought for was lying and getting power. This man's lost more money than I have loose change in my couch. I mean, he's just he's a failure, man. He medicine manned you. He conned us all, not me, you. He conned enough people in the United States to make this happen. Fool me once, it's my fault. Fool me twice, I'm an idiot. Is that how that goes? I don't know the phrase exactly. Anyway, welcome to the program, Memorial Day. It is time to eat hot dogs. There has been a recall of hot dogs that have been sold to vendors wholesale, mostly in the Midwest. If you're listening to this program and you live in the Midwest, watch out for the hot dogs. Apparently, there are small amounts of metal, of aluminum, in a certain lot of hot dogs. So the recall has gone out. Now, you're kind of safe to go to the supermarket and buy hot dogs. That's not what's affected. These are the wholesale gigantic cartons thereof, which vendors use, the hot dog stands, that kind of stuff. So just be very wary of that. It might be a good holiday this time around to have a sausage instead of a hot dog. I really don't know. I don't know the difference between a sausage and a hot dog. I think they're both made the same way. You take a casing, you know, someone's intestines, someone that you don't know preferably, and you stuff their intestines with meat byproducts, and that would be ground up animals, you know, just the beaks, the hoofs, you name it, it's in there. It's ground up to perfection. It's the meats that people wouldn't eat if they knew they were eating it. That's what they are, hot dogs. I played the Armor hot dog jingle yesterday on the program. It just brought back memories. This is the time of year. There's three times during the year that you are allowed to eat hot dogs. Other than that, you are to be damned to hell. Memorial Day is one of them. Yay! July 4th, oh, hot dog away, baby. There's even hot dog competition. And then, of course, you got your Labor Day. That's the last vestige of hot dog. And that's kind of pretty much it. Hot dogs are also meant to be devoured at ballparks. They even have a hot dog named after a ballpark called Ballpark Hot Dogs. So, you know, I don't know. I like hot dogs. I like them because they're naughty. They're naughty. When I was a little child, and it's hard to believe I ever was. I don't really think I was ever a little child looking back at my childhood. I don't think I ever was a little child. I was over 6 feet by the time I was 12 years old. That's not a little child. When I was born, the doctor said, "Holy crap, that's huge." And my mother said, I think he's a fully grown adult. I delivered a fully grown adult from my vagina. I don't think she said it in so many words. I think that was the gist of it. But I used to think that hot dogs actually were made of dogs. Why wouldn't I think that? Why wouldn't I? Nobody ever corrected me. Hey, Billy, did you know that hot dogs are made from dogs? I'm not going to correct you because that's so stupid. So no one corrected me. I think I believed in Santa Claus till I was like three. And then after that, I started a petition that I was being lied to by my parents. The people that were supposed to harbor me and from harm and shield me from horrible people, they actually lied to me. They actually made up a story, or a popular story, about a guy in a red suit and a fat one at that who comes down the chimney. I mean, if you're going to make up a story about someone coming down your chimney, don't make him fat, because that just starts to be unbelievable at a point. I mean, even as a little kid, I was good enough at geometry to think, fat man in my, no, that doesn't work. And the first place my parents had didn't have a fireplace or a chimney, so that didn't even work. I said to my parents, "Well, how does Santa Claus get into the house if we don't have a fireplace?" And my parents said, "We give him the keys. We just give him the key. We leave the keys outside." I said, "Well, what if there are burglars or something who get the keys and steal all the presents?" And they said, "Look, just shut up already, okay? Just shut up, enjoy the holiday, and go to bed." And then as I got older, and I had kids, you know, they did the Santa Claus thing. You know, they believed in Santa Claus. And I went along with it because if my parents are going to lie to me, I'll lie to my kids. Kill the legacy here. So I lied to them. I said, "Yeah, there is a Santa Claus. You know, figure it out for yourself and then get back to me. But yeah, there is a Santa Claus, of course." And then I remember Christmas morning, I had spent all my hard-earned money giving them the presents that they wanted. And they opened up the presents and they said, "Look what Santa got me. Oh, look what Santa got me. Oh, look what Santa got for me." And it was everything in my power to hold myself back from saying, "Santa my ass, I gave those things to you. I worked hard and gave you that stuff. That's from me. I get the credit for that. I stayed up all night to put the presents there. And I went to the stores and I bought the stuff and I fought for these toys for you. We're not going to eat for a week because we have no money, but you got your damn toys." But I couldn't do that because that would have broken the belief of Santa. So I started maligning Santa, similar to what Trump does to all people who disagree with him. I started maligning Santa and saying, "Well, you know, I think that's the last year that fat shit is going to actually give you any toys. For now on, I'm going to do it." I started maligning Santa. I called him a drunken bastard at one point. And I said that, you know, it's not really Santa that comes down the chimney. It's one of the reindeer. They didn't buy that. They didn't buy that one. They wanted to believe that a fat man came down the chimney, not the reindeer. So that didn't work. My kids figured it out for themselves long before I did at that age. But we lie to our kids all the time. We do. Look, Daddy, Daddy doesn't feel well today. I know I promised to bring you to the park to play, but Daddy doesn't feel well.
But you told us that you'd bring us to the park.
Oh, actually, I forgot to tell you, the park's closed. They're doing reconstruction work, and there's, you can't.
Can we go to the park and watch him do the construction?
No, because my car has no gas in it, and so we can't go anywhere at all, so... let's just stay home. I'll stay in bed and you go play with the toys that Santa got you. It just doesn't work for me at all. It doesn't work for me at all. Anyway, it's Memorial Day. Be very, very careful. As we have, a lot of people have cookouts, which is a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. That's when people come over to your house and you have to physically tell them when they arrive what time this is going to be over. When I invite people over to my house for a cookout, and that hasn't happened in about 15 years, I say, hey, come on over at 4 o'clock. It's over at 5:30. 5:30, we're done. We're shutting down. We shut down at 5:30.
Well, what, you want to go watch a movie inside your house, Ron? You want to watch a movie on TV?
No, I said 5:30 was it. It's over at 5:30. I'm sorry. No, I have to prepare for my colonoscopy tomorrow.
You have a colonoscopy tomorrow and you're eating all this food?
Look, that's the excuse that I'm making up. Just go with it. Of course I don't have a colonoscopy tomorrow. If I did, I'd be freaking out right now. It's just an excuse that I'm using to get you out of my house. Don't hang around here. Get in your car, start the car, and drive home. And forget this ever happened. And by the way, I left the potato salad outside for 7 hours before you showed up. And I think you better go home now. Before it all starts coming up again and churning inside your stomach, because mayonnaise in the sun, you're going to feel it in the morning or like in an hour. Ron, how could you leave potato salad out all day?
Because if people don't leave my house, then they get sick, and then they leave because they're sick. I've got to have some kind of backup for this stuff.
You know, it sounds like that I really don't like people, and I got to tell you honestly, for theatrical purposes, that's absolutely true. People are very nice when they want to be, but I know that inside their body and inside their soul, they want to eat away at society. I know it for a fact, but see, they don't do it on purpose. People are just the way they are. The problem is, I don't like the way they are. That's why when God created Earth, if you believe that, he also created walls and carpenters to put walls up so that we didn't have to live in one large room. That's a God thing. So, okay, I mean, figure that out. It doesn't take a lot to figure that out, does it? All right, there's an event taking place in Boston this weekend, and we're going to tell you about that at the end of the program, so hold on for that. It's called the Black Superhero Project. But first, as I alluded to at the top of the show, this is very interesting. There's actually a physical condition where the penis is not straight. When it becomes erect, it has a bend in it. I know. It sounds painful, and it actually is. And my guest actually wrote a book about this particular condition that he has. And it's, I mean, I always applaud people who come forward and you know, with things, even if they're embarrassing, they come forward with it and talk about it so that it's not something that we have to hide. It's a bent penis thing. My response to that is, ouch, ouch. So let's talk to our guest. Don Cummings joins us now, and he's speaking about quite an interesting subject matter that most people haven't heard about. His writing is called Bent But Not Broken. And Don, tell me about what this particular disease is.
Well, it's called Peyronie's disease, and the urologists like to make sure that you understand it's a condition and not a disease.
Okay.
Because it becomes chronic. But what it is that a man, about 5% of adult men, will get plaque, which is basically scar tissue, sandwiched between the corpora cavernosa, which are the two erectile tubes in your penis, and the outer layer, which is called the tubica albuginea, which is a kind of a reptilian skin.
Uh-huh.
So you get plaque in there, and then and it looks just fine in your regular day to day activities.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get when you get an erection, what happens is the plaque becomes constricting, and the penis will bend in that direction. It's painful, and it has about a year, period where it's kind of in its acute stage,
uh-huh.
and then it usually subsides. But what happens often to men is they do not get treated, and they end up with basically a bent penis that is very difficult to use.
When the plaque is building up, would that cause any type of pain or complications, having nothing to do with the fact the penis is erect or not, but just the fact that that plaque is building up?
What one notices like is that you have a little bit of, you notice something's different, but mm-hmm. it's really not painful when the penis is not erect.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you would tend not to do anything about it or even notice it?
Well, no, you would notice it. I mean, unless you do not get erections, which I guess some men don't, but I mean, but most men who are middle-aged are still getting erections, and it's very easy to notice. Yeah.
Would have that anything to do with the pain of urination?
No, because this plaque is outside of, it doesn't, and the urethra is underneath the penis, and usually it can also affect the lower side of the penis, but more often than not, it affects the top side of the penis.
Okay. Is the pain so great that you would tend not to want to be in that situation anyway? And otherwise, would you avoid sexual contact because of that?
I think in more severe cases, yeah, you would avoid. Okay. I mean, my particular case is medium, so it was that wasn't my issue. Right. But yes, you would avoid it because it is painful, especially in the acute beginning phase, uh-huh. which, like I said, can last up to a year. So,
would this condition be considered a long lasting flare up that would subside normally anyway?
You know, as my urologist said, I was living in New York at the time when I was being treated.
Right.
About 40% of men, if you do nothing, they'll sort of get better on their own. About 40% of men kind of get worse. It's a tricky thing. So if you go untreated, it can just get worse and worse. Some men end up with a 90-degree bend if they don't get treated. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me what the resolves are. Well, I guess specifically what you went through. How involved was the condition when you actually had it discovered?
My urologist told me I had a medium case.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed it. I noticed it pretty quickly. I was having painful nighttime erections, and I had you're in Brockton, right? I went to Tufts University undergrad in Boston, and I was a pre-medical student, and I actually knew what Peyronie's disease was just because I just knew what it was.
You're lucky.
And so when it started happening, I started getting these painful erections at night, and I thought, something's not right, something's going on here. I thought, don't worry about it. You're just being hypochondriacal, no big deal. Uh-huh. And then I noticed, you start having pain, and then usually within a few weeks to a month, then you start noticing the bending.
Okay.
So,
And how was this resolved in your case? Was it resolved, and if so, how?
Yeah, so I went to see a urologist in New York City, and I was treated with something called verapamil, which is actually a blood pressure medication, but they use it as an off-label medication for Peyronie's disease. They add saline to it, they put it in a needle, and they numb your penis, and they go in there, and they break up the plaque. And what I like to say is they like to take cheddar and turn it into Swiss.
I see.
So instead of getting rid of the plaque entirely, what you do is you make it more like this kind of loose web so that when you get an erection, it doesn't impede the erection any longer.
Right.
Now, that was the protocol I did. These days, since I've been treated, there's a new drug called Xiaflex, which is a collagenase, which means it kind of eats that collagen, which is what scar tissue is made of, which collagen is, protein.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using that more readily these days. But I think I had the same kind of results that people get with Xiaflex.
Okay. Is this a hereditary situation? Is it a roulette wheel kind of thing?
It's a combination. It can be, it often is hereditary. It's an inflammatory response. So men who have a greater inflammatory response in general can get this. Men who have more, maybe more allergies, maybe just some sort of issue. They don't know, though. They have not isolated the gene for it. But also men can get it from being injured. Like if you bend the wrong way while having sex, I always say to my friends, if your lady's on top, be careful, things like that. You don't want the penis to be bent quickly in a direction it doesn't want to bend. Now, granted, a lot of men who get Peyronie's disease, that doesn't happen. They don't have injuries. I think, certainly in my case, the spot that kind of gets sort of hit over and over again, is what causes it.
But it's speculation usually.
Yeah, it's all speculation. They have not figured out, but it does seem to be genetic in the sense that it does run in families.
Here's the thing. That's probably one of the few things that would be hereditary where a previous generation had it. It's not the kind of thing that they would tell anybody if
no,
they
that's
did.
Exactly right. Yeah. No, it's not. Hey, kids, gather around.
So you would never really know at all.
No.
Okay.
No.
You actually wrote about this, which is interesting.
I did. I wrote a book, as you mentioned, it's called Bent But Not Broken, and you can find it, of course, on Amazon. And but it is basically, I started to write a public service announcement. I wanted just to write like about a 40-page kind of like monograph where I could just send it out to people. So this is what you're doing to get Peyronie's disease, because I had a very successful treatment and it worked out well for me. And I figured I should help others. And I was the kind of guy who, I've been an actor for a lot of years. So I'm not that shy a person. And so I thought, between my science background and I'm not squeamish, and I'll just tell people, this is what you do, as like an older brother, And but then what happened was, as I was writing the book, what became very interesting were all the psychological components, because what it did was, most men are very identified with their penises, and you end up feeling kind of bad about yourself.
Yeah.
You don't know where the future lies. It's very stressful. It's stressful on my partner. So the book deals with, of course, my treatment and how you take care of it, but it also deals with the psychological issues. And which were difficult.
Sure.
As I said, I'm not much of a depressive type. Yeah. As I said, I didn't get depressed. I got actively miserable.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah.
I understand how that can happen.
I
applaud you because this is the kind of thing that most people would not write about. It's not discussed medically or otherwise. And the only way that anybody can either feel comfortable with a situation that they may feel is possible, but would not even discuss with their doctors, certainly without anybody else. This is great. I mean, because not many people would do this. So I guess it's always a thank you when somebody brings something to light and someone can connect with that. Let me ask you, how much is this actually taking place in men's society here? Is there a good percentage of men that experience this, or in any degree at all?
Well, the conservative estimate is that it affects 5% of adult men.
That's a lot.
It's a real lot. Yeah. It's a real, real lot. And interestingly, I live in Los Angeles now, but I've lived in New York a lot too, and on both coasts. I have, circles of friends, and guys are coming up to me all the time saying, yeah, I've been to the doctor, I have this. Yeah, and it's not like I'm so popular, I know, thousands of people.
Right.
But just in my circle of, what they say, people know maybe 300 people, as an adult, or 400 people. And just in that group, I definitely have had over 10% of the men that I know have come up to me and told me about this.
That's a lot.
So, yeah, it's really common.
Yeah.
It really is. And then what I always recommend, you have to get to a urologist as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really understand why men wait but I guess they do. I am not someone who likes to wait. Yeah. I'm definitely someone, if a button's coming off a shirt, I'm like, let's get this thing sewn back on as quickly as possible.
Good. Well, I'm glad you got it sewn on quickly. no, I mean, I can see the two reasons for not doing it. One is embarrassment, and the other is just not doing things about things. I know plenty of people who have tons of conditions and they do nothing about it. I say, why don't you go to a doctor? You got health insurance. Check it out. You're in pain. Why live with pain? And they go, I will. And they don't. And then things can get a little bit more uncomfortable and sometimes more serious.
No, that's true. Yeah. That's very true.
Well, Don, it's great speaking to you. Thank you for bringing this to light.
Sure.
And the book is called Bent But Not Broken.
Yeah, bent But Not Broken. And you can always, of course, just go straight to my website, www.doncummings.net.
Perfect.
Doncummings.net. So perfect. Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks. Good talking to you. You take care.
You too.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye. Now, that was Don Cummings. That's actually his name, by the way. I know that you may have said to yourself, is this a joke? Bent penis, Don Cummings. It's Cummings, by the way. And no, it's not a joke. And if I had that condition, I wouldn't find that funny at all either. Okay, let's move on.
As a special surprise thank you, everyone listening to the Ron Van Dam Show today will receive a free photograph of Ron holding a ferret. Yeah, we don't know why he's holding a ferret either. But he's the boss. So there's the ferret. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Charles Coleman Jr. joins us now. He's a civil rights attorney and activist. And we're talking about the Black Superhero Project. There's an event taking place this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, in Boston for our listeners there. Tell me about the event.
So the event is going to be held at Cambridge College. It is the fifth activation of the Black Superhero Project. The Black Superhero Project itself is an initiative being sponsored by a nonprofit organization by the name of CFC40. And what we are doing is we are going to 10 different cities across America and performing 10 service activations in different communities that are surrounding and centering different demographics that are uniquely affected where they are.
Mm-hmm.
For the activation that we're doing in Boston, which is the fifth activation, we will be centering returning citizens. There are over 3,000 returning citizens that are coming home to the city of Boston and surrounding area just this year alone. And our goal with regard to the initiative that we're performing is to basically allow them and their support network to feel included, to feel normal, to feel celebrated, to feel back integrated into regular life. And so the day is going to have three different parts. One part is going to deal with health and wellness. Another portion is going to be dealing with job readiness. And then the final portion is going to be dealing with mentorship. And so, again, what we want to do with respect to this day is we want to center returning citizens and their families, their extended support systems and networks, in order that they can feel like they are, again, a real part of society, fully integrated and fully made a part of everything else that society has to offer.
And this is Saturday, is that correct?
Yes, it is. It's this Saturday coming up, May 25th. Between 9 and 4 at Cambridge College in Boston.
Okay, very good. Now, are there going to be speakers?
Yes, there are a number of different speakers and panelists. We are going to be having a session on physical and mental health, total health and wellness. So there'll be some wellness experts that will be speaking. We also have some recruiters and professionals in the job hunting realm that will be discussing how best to approach getting a job once you are ready to re-enter the job market and the employment field. And then we're also going to have some folks from the mayor's office who will be talking about their mentoring program that they've rolled out under the Office of Returning Citizens. So there are a number of different speakers, a number of different workshops and panels, all of which are intended to connect the returning citizens as well as their families with necessary and essential resources that are going to help center them and again, reintegrate them into society.
Now, the 10 cities, does it happen simultaneous or are they event is different weeks for different places?
We have been going, no, these events are happening at different times in different cities.
Okay.
So we started in Houston in November of 2018, ooh, where we were working with victims of Hurricane Harvey who mm-hmm. were survivors and who were, in many cases, displaced or not eligible to receive significant amounts of public assistance. And from there, we went in January to Flint, Michigan, where we were able to donate over a truckload of water to the families who were still in that community and affected by the water crisis. All said, we ended up donating over 7,000 gallons of clean water for families still in Flint, which we know were able to serve over 500 families in that area with the assistance of folks that were right there on the ground in community. From there, we went to Baltimore, where we were working with young women of color and young mothers, mm-hmm. Providing them with essential hygiene products and feminine products, as well as products that young mothers are able to use and need access to. And our most recent activation was in Columbia, South Carolina, where we were also working with young Black girls. So these activations are occurring in different cities at different times, mm-hmm. and we're really excited about what we're doing in Boston.
Yeah. It's great what you're doing. It's almost the kind of thing that we should be doing anyway on a regular basis. But like most other things, we have to plan events in order to show people what you're supposed to be like all the time.
Absolutely. And that's really a big part of what we believe in at CFC 40. You know, our catchphrase is essentially do your part.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we really believe that if everyone decides to lead where they are, if everyone decides to do their part where they are in their own community, we all can have a huge degree of impact exactly where we need to.
Okay. Now, if people live in other cities and this hasn't taken place yet, or they want or more information where maybe they can help establish something in their community, where do they go for that information?
Please come visit us at www.cfc40.org. Again, that's www.cfc40.org, and you can learn more about the Black Superhero Project, CFC 40, and also see what other cities are on deck, how you can get involved and do your part.
Okay, Av, and for those in the Boston area, that's Saturday the 25th from 9 to 4 at what location again?
Cambridge College in Massachusetts, right on Harvard's campus.
Perfect. Charles, thanks so much for the time today and for doing what you do.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Well, look, no matter what happens, please try to have yourself a wonderful, wonderful time. And I'll be back the next time a weekday rolls around and we'll do this again. Thank you so much for your tolerance, your contributions, your clothing. I wish you peace.